Well, we just listened to the closing message of the over toward the mark, and it was the third message or the closing message by Lance Lambert. What is the prize? Attaining the prize, and third and closing message of this particular conference was on overcoming. So we all heard that tonight, and I think it's important to maybe just be thinking about what you're going to go away with, and how do you see what you heard tonight affecting the way you live the rest of your life when it comes to fulfilling the purpose of God, coming into the fullness of that for which we've been redeemed. So, I know when Lori and I listened to this message before we went on our vacation, we said, well, the assembly needs to hear this. The assembly needs to hear these three messages by Lance. So you've heard the first two while we were away, and this is the third and final message. So what do you go away with? Who wants to comment on what registers, or what is the Lord registering in you as you heard this message tonight? What are you left with? Anybody want to go first? How many had already listened to it before tonight? Was this the first time? No. So how many were actually at the conference? So, you heard it on. So okay, there were several of us that were there.
I didn't know you guys yet. It was
2008. Oh, that's right. You were here then. So who wants to go first? How about you? You have any thoughts? Well, at the elders. Elders, we should defer to our elders. So, overcoming.
Well, this is not real alien from the things we've been hearing over the last few years, but in the very unique way the Lord has used our brother. It is a very unique way. Just the way he talked about how David failed, how Abraham failed, Jacob, and yet they're called overcomers. And what did he say? They're the ones who carried their infirmities with them. And just the just the reality of what the Lord wants. This morning's little message, from the Sparks, is it open?
Windows.
Open windows. Kind of goes along with this. I think Sparks was talking about if you look at the crucible where the fire brings the dross up. If you say the dross is that which was bad in you, then do you mean to say there was something good in you? No, the dross brings up all that which is you and removes it so that Christ is able to manifest himself. And I just, thinking about that as I just heard the message, Brother Lance. What did he say? It takes a long time for the Lord to bring us to the place where we recognize we can't, we're not able. We haven't. Yeah, we're hopeless. When he finally gets us to that place of hopelessness, then he has a place to work from. I think of Major Thomas at that time when he was in college, when he sat down that night and said, "Well, I'm through. I'm done."
He told the Lord.
Yeah, and the Lord. I think he said the Lord had a sigh of relief.
I've been waiting.
Yeah. So. In a sense, it's just not that hard because Christ has already done it. But it is so hard as we try until we stop trying. We come to the end of ourselves and then discover that as he's done it all, we can partake in what he's done. It's just very encouraging.
So, anyone else? Have any registration?
I mean, really, my only response really is tears before the Lord.
Yeah.
There really are no words.
Yeah, but think about, we have the overcomer. He lives in us. We live in him. And when we're walking in faith, that's a reality. When we're not walking in faith that appropriates him, then these are just words. But if we're actually appropriating him in a given situation, then he's living. Faith makes him the overcomer, that in us. Yeah, so, yeah, it's a guaranteed win. You know. Yeah.
It's kind of like the journey of that we take to that I've witnessed you all take out of your background of abuse, and the tendency at some point I know I've seen is, well, once I get through this, then I'll be useful to the Lord. But it's every decision you make to go on, you are overcoming. You're not going to be an overcomer. You are overcoming with every step. And I thought about, I took a few notes here because when Doug and I listen to it at home, you know, I'm always up in the kitchen or cleaning or folding laundry or whatever. But this time sitting here listening, I can remember being there. I remember this.
Yeah.
And when he said, so some of the notes I wrote down, he said, you make a cold-blooded decision to let go of the soul life, the self. A cold-blooded decision, you know. And that is overcoming. We think of overcoming as being so way out there, so at the end of our life we'll be overcomers. No, you're an overcomer every time you make that cold-blooded decision to not regard self. To not regard, in this choice I have to make today, am I going to regard self? Like I loved what he said about protecting self, you know.
Preserving
self. I mean, that's our problem. That's my problem. And so when you let go of that, you are, and right then, that is overcoming. And you're only doing, and I really appreciated what he said, how he brought faith in, the living, active faith.
Appropriating faith.
Yes, that there is no overcoming, there is no going on with the Lord apart from faith. And that when we exercise that faith, we're joined to the Lord. Right then, that is intimacy, that is overcoming. And so then he talked about once we know how to die, he takes care of the life. I think I shared this years ago when Molly was with us and I was taking her to school one day, and we were kind of at odds with each other. And I remember after dropping her off, wondering, the Lord was challenging me. It was like he put a question to me. Now, had you had no regard for self, how would that morning have gone? I said, that's it. It was herself, it was myself. And we were locking horns, button heads. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget that it's just all this regard for self that gets us, that keeps us hampered, hindered, you know, keeps us from being overcomers. And let's see. And then another thing that I thought was very powerful is, he says, every time you turn the Word of God into a statement, the Holy Spirit begins to fulfill it.
Wow.
And how powerful that is. You know how you're just absolutely exhausted, you don't think you can go on, and you still have several hours of the day, And so you find yourself saying, I can do all things through Christ who keeps on pouring the power into me. As you say that, he does. He's doing it. It is being fulfilled. The Holy Spirit's taking it and fulfilling it. And I just loved hearing that. But overcoming begins the moment we let go of the self-life. That was just the message I heard that I think I needed to hear. So, wonderful.
What did he say? What is the... He asked Brother Sparks, what is overcoming? And he says, overcoming is the one who is still at in the will of God. What was the rest of it?
I've got it right
so
here.
In the ranks within the will of God.
At the end. Yeah.
The person who is still in the race within the will of God at the end. That is really tremendous. Yeah. Anyone else have any thoughts?
To be in the race.
Wait, guys, I'll put it right here in the middle.
You guys
can step on my toe. You should turn my stuff nice.
There you go, right there. I stepped on
I'm
with this.
I'm not going to overcome.
Sorry about that. You overcome. My big creature.
Well, I was just thinking, I think I shared one of the times, thinking in 2008, you know, we just moved here, and looking back, I thought, oh, my lands. I was one miserable, full of self person. Not that I'm not there, you know, obviously.
Not quite as full.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it was, but thinking and hardly being able to hear Lance at that time, hardly being able to hear the message. Well, yeah, I mean, so much was going on, and just thinking, God, what the heck is going on here? And many expletives. And so, and surely I would like to have thought that I prayed when Lord, okay, I need some desperate answers here of what that is. And just, I think over the process of the years, just him saying, okay, you know, the main issue is the self-life. That is the main, it's myself. It's not anybody else. It is myself. It really is. It is who I am apart from Christ. And learning to say, and I think that if there's, you know, we always think, well, okay, what's the take-home thing? You know, I live in the marketing well. Give a take-home thing, take-home word for the day. So that, I think, like you said, Lori, the thing to really be, if that's the one thing to take home, is the overcomer begins with letting go of the self-life. Of letting go, okay, Lord, today, I'm going to let that go. Today, that's all I have is today. That's all I have is this moment. You know, I have a choice. I have a choice. And I think growing up in a background of abuse or whatever it is, we're robbed of choices and learning to say, no, I have a choice. Am I going to let go of my rights, my expectations, my this, my that? You know, and then I loved Corey Ten Boom, whose words said that if we hold on something so hard, then, or if we, yeah, if we learn to let go of things, it doesn't hurt if God has to pry it from our hands. And so I can't quote things, but that's what I've learned. I mean, that's the whole life, really, of just continually letting go, giving it to God. But I loved it too, where he was saying is when we let go, then once we know how to die, then he takes care of the life. And that's so beautiful. And it's actually rest. It is really rest. And I think the times when I get out of rest it's the times when I get all panicky and like, you know, things that, you know, come upon me or whatever. It's like, no, okay, well, one of my, Lord, I let go. I let go. I let go of this. I let go. Lord, I'm going to trust you. I don't know. I can't find my way out of this paper bag right now. But all I know is I'm going to trust you. And so I think that's learning every moment and every day. Not that, obviously, I mean, these two ladies who live with me, they they know, but just where I'm not. And so, but just thinking from 2008 to where God has brought me. It's just in the very essence of this very principle is learning Christ in the very midst of every day, of saying, not me, but Christ. And not my will, but thine be done. And I look to you, I'm looking to you for this situation, because I can't, but you can. Each moment, each day. And I think that's what people call the exchange life. You know, I exchange all that I am in Adam for all that you are in Christ. And just learning to live that each moment and each day. So I just so appreciated him. It's almost as if I could hear him. So I think in 2008, I don't know how much I got, because I could hardly hear him, because I was so full of self, you know. Just bleeding, oozing everything that was coming out, and there's lots left, because I'm still here. Otherwise, he would have taken me home by now.
I think that for me, probably one of the most touching parts was where he was talking about that little thing on the wall and my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you, and. I was thinking about it because he started talking about, you know, the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ in the garden. And I've just been listening to this other message that he gives on the character of the kingdom. And he talks about how the Lord Jesus suffered so deeply in the garden. I mean, yes, he suffered on the cross, but in the garden, laying down. Like, it's the he talked about how it's one of the first times the Lord Jesus came to that juncture where he saw a potential path for a will outside of his Father's will. And he's laying down his life in the garden to the extent that he's sweating drops of blood. And the Father sends an angel to minister him just to, because, you know, medically they were saying when you sweat drops of blood, you're near death. Like, it's... The weight of what he was bearing, it took the ministry of an angel just to sustain him through that laying down of his own life. And so I think about what he said today about the peace of the Lord Jesus being left for us, the peace of him wrestling with his own laying down of his own life in the midst of, you know, and even on the cross, like with where I'm at in my journey, not understanding, just and thinking about the Lord Jesus on the cross, not really understanding, but in peace, just giving up his spirit and letting go, you know, and just that, like, that's the peace that he gives me. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, everything that happened, it's going to be okay. That's not the peace. He gives me the peace I need to overcome and move forward, not, you know, it, like, in the full will of God for who I am as a person. And I think that's what really stood out to me, is just I don't need to understand. I can just have who Christ, you know, he himself is our peace. Like, he as a person is my peace. You know, people who live with me know that peace is kind of the last thing that I ever settle on in my life. You know, it's like kind of wound pretty tight a lot of times. So, but he himself is our peace. It's not found in me anywhere, but in him, that peace to obey, that peace to lay down my life, and that peace to look to him and move forward.
I don't look how we can, you don't have words, but it's like it just resonates real deeply with that desire which the Lord has placed in me. Just, I don't even know, but back, all the way back before I met you guys, just saying, Lord, I want you to have all of me. It was the beginning of that desire, and it just resonates just to, like you, to quote it, now I can't quote it. To be in the race within the will of God at the end. To Christ to have all of me. So.
Anyone else?
Well, he actually quoted the plaque on the wall. He says, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you."
No, wasn't it? "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you."
Yeah,
because the whole point was, no, the whole point wasn't "my peace I live with you." It's peace.
Yeah.
Without the possessive, because peace is dealt with.
That's reconciliation.
And then it's "my peace," that peace which he found in the garden, I give to you.
Yeah.
So it was, the first was without the possessive.
Okay. Yeah.
I think you can listen to that. That's what I understand.
Yeah, I think it's the end of John 16. So peace, of course, is from the Hebrew mindset. It's wholeness, soundness, and well-being. It has everything to do with the prosperity of one's soul, because they're right with God. So it's much more than just kind of the anemic thought of peace in the English, shalom. It's, if you're at peace with God, that means you have a sense of wholeness and soundness and well-being. So, yeah, I thought it was really tremendous. There's a lot of scriptures that come to mind, but I think Colossians 2:6 comes to mind in something like this. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord in a moment of time, so continue to walk in Him, and that in doing what? Receiving. And so that's the faith that appropriates. He said there has to be an active faith, a working faith, that connects us livingly to the Lord. And so it's only as we actually appropriate Christ, we actually appropriate Christ, and then He tied that together with speaking and confessing the Word. And well, I really need to work on that. I really need to add situations where, okay, this situation is telling me this about God. My emotions are responding to these circumstances in this way, which is very negative. So everything in my soul and my emotions, these circumstances, are shouting, God is not true. He's the, and in that, to proclaim the Word of God. To learn how to speak out the Word of God, because the Word of God in the Bible is like, it's inherently there, it's the Logos of God. But the Word of God isn't active in our lives unless it's spoken. So when Jesus is in the wilderness and the enemy came to draw Him out, and He says, well, if, assuming that you are the Son of God, I'm not saying you're not, I'm assuming you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And then He says, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And how did Jesus answer? It is written, ma'am, I'm Son of God. I know who I am. But I didn't come to be Son of God, even though it's who I am. I came to be man. And man shall not live by bread alone, but by every verbal utterance that comes out of the mouth of God, the rhema of God. So that's rhema. Then Ephesians chapter 6, and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's not Logos, that's rhema. So the sword of the Spirit can't be released unless we open our mouth and it becomes the rhema of God. There has to be, it's the verbal utterance. And it says in Hebrews 1 and verse 2 or 3, it says, Jesus Christ, who being the effulgence of God, the flashing forth of God's radiance, the character of His, of God's essence, present tense, upholds the entire universe, all things, the entire universe, by the word of His power. That's rhema. So Jesus overcame the devil through taking the word of God that's in the Bible, turning it into a verbal expression, quoting it. The sword of the Spirit is the verbal expression of the word of God, and why Jesus upholds the entire universe by the word of His power. So, learning to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that's certainly a major issue of overcoming. And faith is always active. It's in the actual Greek, it's, even though it's a noun, it's a verbal noun. It's considered a verbal noun. In other words, even though it's a noun, it's considered an action. So because it's a noun, it means it's stative. We need to be a state and active faith. A state of active faith is the substantiation of things hoped for the evidence and the conviction of things not seen. For by it, that which we see, the entire world that we see in the physical, didn't come into being except by the Word of God. It's sustained by the Word of God. And so, what's more real? To the writer, to the Hebrews, the Word of God is more real than the physical universe. The greatest reality is the invisible reality of the Word of God. And so, I think as that soul life is subjugated to the cross, no one can be my disciple unless he deny himself, pick up his cross, not mine, it's yours, pick up your cross, deny yourself and follow me. And that is the disciple of the Lord. So yeah, we just look forward to learning more of Christ in this.
This is just on a different note, but when we think about how precious it is that we got to hear someone who had a relationship with Brother Sparks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then also a reference to Brother Sparks's relationship to people like F.B. Meyer, A.B. Simpson. Lady Ogle.
Yeah.
And how beautiful and special this is. What an honor that we have been in the line of hearing Brother Lance, who knew Sparks knowing these others, and the reference to Watchman Nee, the reference to Amy Carmichael. So we think about how rich we are, but only if we live in the same faith that they lived in. Mm-hmm. And then we also realize that these men are passing off the scene. Brother Lance is with the Lord face to face. And so, and we're getting old. You know, this is 8 years later. When we were there, we were 8 years younger. That's a lot at this age. That's a lot younger.
Didn't know Jenny yet.
You know, as we're 60 and we're passing 60 and going to mid-60s, and in Doug's case, 70, this is, I don't know, it's real touching to me that this is the baton being passed on to us. There aren't a whole lot of Lances around, you know. And Brother Stephen, and of course Dana's still about our age, but still, I just think it's just, we really bless the Lord for preserving this ministry.
Yeah. Anyone else?
It would be like the first line of it says, we will do the word. What did they tell you?
One of my translators, I think it was when I was there the second time. We were there 29 days, and we had different translators. This, I don't know her Chinese name. I think her name, English name is Raylene. And so we were at a train stop getting ready to go from wherever we were to probably Beijing. And so I asked Raylene, who was the translator for myself and Phil, I said, so what have you been hearing? What do you go away with as one who's been translating the word for us? She was real quiet. She's very young, probably in her 20s. And she got tears in her eyes, and she said, this is the word of the Lord, and we shall do it. That's all she said. We shall do it. So that's active faith. All right, so Father, we thank you for this opportunity to consider these things. We commit ourselves to you afresh, in Jesus' name. Amen.